You know, I was praying on Thursday up there. I said, Lord, you should open our eyes. And the Lord said to me, he said, I don't write letters to somebody he can't read. He said, do you? I said, no. He said, the problem is not me. His problem is those sitting in your pews that are not interested in my word. Period. He said, do you write letters to somebody he can't read? I said, no. He said, but I don't do the same. He said, if anybody wants to know, he will. No. He will not. But if they think they know better than me and they don't want what I'm saying, good luck to them. He said, see, you can't force it down anybody's throat. All I sent you to do is to preach it, go home. Delegated authority. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works I do, shall he what? Do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, did the work of the kingdom. He did the work of God. He did the work of the kingdom. He did the work of the kingdom. Everybody say that. He did the work. Say it louder. Come on. He did the work of the kingdom. And then he said, I'm going to the Father now. This work has to be carried on, and it has to be carried on by you. Has to be carried on by the church. And that's part of what God was showing this young man. The eternal things are the things of the kingdom. It has to be carried on. And for the church to be able to carry on the same work that Jesus did, they needed the same authority that Jesus operated in. For you and me to carry on the work of the kingdom, and when we talk about the work of the kingdom, you're also doing yourself a word of favor. For us to successfully carry on the work of the kingdom and also successfully defend our turf, the things of the kingdom that belong to us, the blessings of God, your health, your marriage that God blessed you with, the kids that God blessed you with, the blessings of the kingdom, in order to also defend it and in order to also do the work of the kingdom, you need the same authority that Jesus did it when he was here. And so, look at Luke chapter 4:36, so you can see a demonstration of his authority while he was here. In Luke chapter 4:36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with what? Oh, come on. For with what? Come on. For with what? Authority. Let's say that. With what? Authority and power. He commanded the unclean spirits and they came out. So he had authority and he was doing the work of the kingdom of God with authority. So for us to do the same work that he did, we needed that authority. And for us to defend, listen to me real good, to defend the things of the kingdom that is operating in your life, you need the same authority. Because there's a thief out there that wants to steal it, wants to destroy it, and wants to do what again? Kill it. If you let him, he will. But why don't you have the thrill of your life of watching that thief flee from you? Why don't you have testimonies? Or why don't you have the joy of, man, wow, he flee from me? Because you have more than enough to make him flee from you. You have more than it takes to make him flee from you. So Jesus had to delegate that authority to us. And in Mark chapter 16:15, because he was going to the Father, because he was leaving, he said, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, he's assigning them now to go do the work of the kingdom. Preach the gospel to what? I didn't hear you. Preach the gospel to what? So how many of us have ever preached the gospel to people? If not, prayer is problem-oriented, disoriented.
Oh, Jesus.
How many of us have really ever preached the gospel to people? That's the work of the kingdom. That's what he sent us to do. Father, I'm praying. Open more door to me. Open more door. Glory. Open more door. Door and more door. In Jesus' name, all my enemies, bind them, kill them, destroy them. Yeah. You're wasting your time. You're not even in the kingdom work. You're not there. You're just bound by this selfish thing that is called delusion, self-delusion. Because the spirit of Christ is not a selfish spirit. It's a selfless spirit. Can I hear amen? Amen. It's a selfless spirit. Because of ignorance of how God works, we think that when you focus on yourself, then God focuses on you. That's not true. We just got to know that God, we're not going to lead God though. He will lead us. Can I hear amen? Amen. He will lead you. If you want to manipulate him to lead you, to lead him, you waste your time. You will draw zero. And so Jesus said to the church, you go into all the world and preach what? The gospel to some creatures. Hey, pastor, you know, that my co-worker is a devil. Then God said, go preach gospel to him. You don't call him devil, because if he was a devil, you were one before you got saved. You don't call him devil. Jesus said, yes, I know there are wolves, but I'm sending you among wolves. Why? You have something that will change their nature from being a wolf to being a lamb, so you go with the gospel. But you won't go with the gospel. You go there and start midnight prayer against them. All my enemies, fire upon them. And God is saying, that's not the work of the kingdom. Jesus said, I did not come to kill. I came to save. That's the work of the kingdom. They said to him, Lord, let's call fire. These people are insulting you. Let's call. He said, no. You don't know the type of spirit what you have. We didn't come to kill. He said, I didn't even come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. And he said, if you are not gathering them, you are not walking with me. If you are scattering, you are not walking with me. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. The greatest blessing in this world, you have it, God, the gospel. God sent you there. You live the gospel. You don't have to preach it. You live the gospel. Pretty soon, they all change. Did you hear the story of the testimony of one of our sisters that was having issues in her job? And they wanted her to be a lesbian, and so they were harassing her. And she came to me and said, love them. I said, love overcomes everything. Overcome evil with good, period. Let Jesus shine. And that darkness will not comprehend it. And God is love. Love them. And she said it was difficult. Yes, because humanly speaking, it is impossible. But because Christ is in you, you can do all things. When we walk by the you need to get the teaching I did here on Saturday, right? Friday. I'm begging you go and listen to that thing. That thing was a revelation to me. You need to go there and get it. I'm telling you now, you better get it. Don't assume. Those of you who didn't come, you don't know. That's what I say. You don't know the day things will happen. You go away. Go and get it. Because there you find how to live the Christian life. The reason we live in the flesh most of the time, we want to do the Christian work in the flesh. It doesn't work. You do it in the spirit. So she said, Pastor, I said, you can do all things. Because you are born again. All things are possible to them that believe. You believe in the Lord Jesus. Yeah, you trust him to live through you. He will do it. It's not your life. It's his life. And then she continued until the sister called her and started crying. She gave the testimony here. Am I lying here? The woman started crying. So you have something. Yeah, Jesus. You can't beat Jesus. Anywhere Jesus is revealed, his glory shows up. And every other power bows. Praise the Lord. So he told us to go and preach the gospel. Okay, my question is, are we? You know, one time, one sister, their sister, brought somebody from somewhere that he preached the gospel to this church. And they said to me, "Pastor, I want this woman here." And I said, "You're not even a member of this church. But you preach to somebody and bring them." He said, "Yeah." He said, "This church is nearer where she lives, and I want her here." And that woman stayed. At the end of the teaching, she came to me and said, "I've fallen in love with this church, and I've fallen in love with her teaching." He said, "Because you make it, we laugh, and then you're saying serious things." Somebody else preaching the gospel and bringing to your church. You won't preach, you won't bring. All you do is criticize the church. Find fault. Who have you brought here? Nobody. Find fault. Criticism is not the Holy Spirit. Can I hear amen? Not the Holy Spirit. You find fault. You find fault. Find fault. Find fault. Find them fault. The Pharisees were following Jesus. Doing what? Find them fault. It's not a good spirit. Can I hear amen? So who did you bring? Preach the gospel. So verse 16. "He that believeth is baptized and shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." 17. "And these signs shall follow them that" what? "Believe." You see what they're supposed to be doing, those that believe? "In my name they shall cast out devils." See the work of the kingdom now? "And they shall speak with" what? "New tongues." Verse 18. "They shall take up" what? "Serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." The work of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 10 verse 6. Matthew 10, 6. "But only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep, go ye to..." It said, "Go ye, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep," verse 7. "Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near." He said, "Go and announce to them that the work of the kingdom is here now." The work of the kingdom is what? Near you. It's near you. And then demonstrate the kingdom work for them. And then what did he say to them? Verse 8, let's see it. What do they do? Heal the sick. Number 2, raise the dead. Number 3, cure those with leprosy. Number 4, cast out the... Number 5, give as freely as you have. Is it not what Jesus was doing? Come on, church. That's what we are supposed to be. All of us. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And they say, give it free. Don't charge them money. Don't say, "Give me money, I'm going to the mountain for you." Don't do that. So he delegated that authority so we're able to do that. We're able to do that. Because without that, we cannot do that. Again, in Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. "And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make" what? "Disciples." You see the assignment? Is it the work of the kingdom again? "Make disciples of some nations, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Why should they go to the all nations? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So you now go with that authority that was given to me. I'm delegating it to you. It's mine. It's not yours. It was given to me. So I'm delegating you to go. Amen? I say amen. Now in Ephesians 1 from verse 19, it says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms." Verse 21. "Now he is far above any ruler or authority and power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also..." So why? Verse 22. Let's read 22 together. "God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things." Why? "For the benefit of the church, so that the church can use that authority to continue his work for the benefit of the church. For the benefit of the church. And 23, in case you are confused, he said, and the church is what? His body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills things everywhere with himself. He said, because Christ, we have been equipped with the authority of Christ and his presence, the church is completely equipped to do the work of the kingdom. And this authority is vested in the name of Jesus. This authority is vested what? There is no other name through which this authority works except the name of Jesus. The church has not been given any other name. The church has, the work of the kingdom cannot be done through any other name except one name. Because the authority has been given to him, not to them. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, not to us. There is no other name you've been given with which to carry on the work of the kingdom of God except the name of the owner of the work, the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12. New Living Translation said, there is salvation in no one else. There is salvation. Salvation comes. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must what? So there is no authority in any other name. There is no authority in the name of your church. Neither is there authority in the name of your group. Neither is there authority in your name or my name. It's vested in his name. Amen? Acts 2:36. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both what? Lord and what? There is no other Lord except him. So everything bows to him. The authority is in his name. You must know this. You must understand this. You must be familiar with this, that those things don't respond to you. There's no authority in you, and there's no authority in me. There's nothing like man of God. The authority is rested entirely in the name of Jesus. He said, go in my name. There is no other name we've been given. There's only one name we've been given. Philippians 2:7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and ate, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him, exalted us, him, and given him a name which is above every other name. It is him and him only. And that name is the name of Jesus. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of things in what? Heaven. And things were on earth. And things were. I was asking them on Thursday, so why do you go and be removing the things under the earth? You don't need to. Because it has authority, whether it's under the earth or on top. You don't have to say, let me remove it. It makes no difference. They buried it here, makes no difference. That authority extends under the earth. Is anybody following me here? So you say, we have somebody coming to go and why don't you even bring it out yourself? Why do you need somebody to go and beg and bury nonsense? What do you need? Who cares about what you bury? Whatever the sole of your feet has tread upon, you possess it. His authority is in heaven, on earth, and where? Go and bury it wherever. The authority extends there. So I don't need you to come and say, we're coming to your compound to praise the Lord. And Peter understood this. You know, I was illustrating it on. Does anybody have $5 note or $100 or $50 note or $1,000? Is anybody who can loan me your money? $100, $50? Okay. I found. This is wallet. Man. Thank you. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Pastor Victor, I want to give a testimony. I was preaching and suddenly there was blessing. He fell. Ah. Brethren, you see this money. How much is it? The federal government stamped it, its authority, and said the value is $100, right? If I go to ShopRite with it, the reason they will, I will get those things and leave is not because of me. Because the authority of this money is not in me. There is no stamp of divine government authority on me. It's on this paper. So if I present this paper at the counter, they are bound to give me $100 worth of stuff. And they are not giving it to me because of who? Come on, talk to me. Because of who? Because of me. They are giving it to me because of what? This thing. Because this is where the authority is. Whether I'm tall or short makes no difference. I can't come to ShopRite and they say, you know, this man, you are not tall enough. We're not going to give you. It's a legal tender. They can't say, we're not giving you because, you know, you have assent. Has nothing to do with it. All I need to do is to do what? Present it. And once I present it, it begins to work immediately and they respond to it by giving me $100 worth of goods. That I can increase the authority and make it 500. Am I right? And they can't refuse it. Can't refuse this if it's fake. But if it's real, they can't refuse. Now you bring the name of Jesus, it works the same way. It's not, the authority is vested, it's not invested in you. It's invested in that name. So you present the name and say, Satan, in the name of who? Jesus. He recognizes the authority right there. He bows to it. Just no question. It's not about you. How many hours you pray, didn't pray, it's irrelevant to that. The power is in the name. Not in you. Not in your prayer. I can't go to ShopRite and say, hey, if you people know how much I suffered to come here, you know, so that whether I walked there or came by plane, or walk, they are not interested in that. The only thing that makes it work is, my friend, show me. Case closed. Christians, I don't understand us. This is so simple. There's nothing that God deals with all that's complicated. We complicate it. We complicate it out of ignorance. It's so simple. In Jesus' name, they respond to it. Because God has put a decree on this paper, on that name. Add a name. Add that name. God says, every knee what? Do you even believe it yourself? Is it not why we run around thinking that, call it this, turn to the north, turn to the south. Whether you turn to the north, turn to the south, turn around 7 times, it's irrelevant. This is what buys you stuff. If you come to any shop and you start turning around, you know who they will call? Intervention. They'll call intervention unit. They say, we have somebody here running around and trying to make us give him what he already had. This thing works for him. My brother, thank you so very much. This one, you are not interested in it anymore. He's no more interested, so he's gone. A man, thank you. God bless you, really good. Is anybody following me here? It doesn't work because of you. It works because of the name. Acts 3:2. Acts 3:2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms for. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look what? And he gave it unto them, expecting to receive something to them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give it. You know, if you come, he said, I have $100. Peter said, I have something that works. I have something that works. He says, then Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do what? Was that prayer? It's a demand. It's a demand. Serious demand. He made a demand. He said, you got to get up here and walk in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's the work of the kingdom. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord.
Okay.
7. And the man didn't walk, and then Peter took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received him down. Verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. 11. Now, as the lame man who has healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this now? It's not, why are you surprised? This thing should work. Now, if I go to buy something, I present my money, they give me things, you see me outside, you say, ah, you mean they gave you this? Peter said, he should walk now. What the, why are you marveling? You mean, I said, yes, now I paid for it. You did, yes. So that $100 bills, but yes. Thank you. God bless you. And so he said, why are you, where am I? What verse? So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this now? Or why look so intently at us as do by our own what? Power, or our own what? Godliness. It's neither our power, it's not our godliness that made this man to walk. So stop looking at us. He said, it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified what? Because God has put a decree on that name. So God saw to it that once that name is mentioned in faith, it has effect. Amen? So when the church uses that name in furtherance of the kingdom work, it works. Jesus will see to it himself that it happens. And that's why he said in John 14, let me take you back to our text. In John 14, verse 12, very, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my. Now, how do we do the work? He told us in verse 13. The next verse, he told us exactly how we do this work. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name now, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So Peter went and demanded in his name, and he saw to it that happened. He said, yes, the Father is glorifying the Son, so that through the Son, the Father is also glorified. So he told us that we can use his name to extend the work of the kingdom, to bring the influence of the kingdom over this earth. And in Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with what? Signs following. They were preaching. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Heal the sick. And so, as they went, and like Peter said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The Bible said the Lord was there to confirm it, to see to it that it what? It works. Because that's his name. Say he's there to confirm it. In Mark 16:20, also we read that Mark 16:20. In Matthew 16:19, Matthew 16 what? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You know, I spoke about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. One of them is the promises of God. Now the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Through the promises of God, the Bible said we obtain these things through the word of God. And the word of God is a word of promise. It's a word of covenant. But now it's showing us the name of Jesus is a key. And the promise also covers the name of Jesus, that those that believe in him can use that name. And so whatever you forbid on earth, whatever you forbid, well, then heaven backs it. Jesus said, as they went preaching and doing this, he was confirming it himself with signs and wonders. So he said, you forbid, then we back it up. Heaven backs it up. Man, if you don't forbid, there's nothing for heaven to back up. So we do, and he does. Many times we are waiting for God to do something. Let me tell you the truth of the matter. A lot of things we pray about, we should really be acting on it. A lot of things we bother God about, the authority of Jesus will solve it for you. If you understand this thing. If you read the Bible and see the prayer of the old saints, their prayer is so different from what we pray today. Totally different. They were focused on revelation. They were focused on God, give me. So it will not work unless we act in faith, unless we use it in faith. Peter said it is faith in this thing that makes it to work. It's not going to work unless we use it in faith, unless we believe in this authority. And you cannot believe in this authority of Jesus unless you have a revelation from the Holy Spirit concerning it. Just like every other word of God, it's not going to work. Church, I'm telling you the truth. Just like every word of God, it won't work unless you have a revelation on it. Faith comes by rhema, not by logos. You have to have a revelation from the Holy Spirit about that thing before it works for you. You can go with natural thinking and thinking you have faith, the thing will keep you down and deal with you. You have to have your eyes of understanding what? Opened, so the word of the Lord will flood your heart. Faith is a natural thing. You won't be asking whether it will work, you will expect it to work. But this is why a lot of people don't even understand that they need that revelation desperately. In fact, I think I'm safe. I'll read for you. Can I have my phone, please? I'll read for you what a sister sent me over the weekend. It blessed me so much, encouraged me like nothing else. So that you understand that this thing is true. I won't call her name so that you don't call her after service and say, pray for me. We won't pray for you, nothing. I won't call her. He said, good morning, sir. He said, I believe everyone in the family is doing well. He said, please, sir, call me when you get some chance today. I need to have a session with you. Listen to this. It is like a veil just fell off my face. It is like a veil just fell off my face. I feel like going into hiding because I saw my life that I was living. And it's like, so I was doing this? He says, I'm telling you. So I feel like going into hiding, but inside I am full of joy and at peace. He said, please, sir, call me today. I desperately need to share this with you. Thanks so much for your time, sir. And may the Lord keep equipping you to empower us. And he said, amen. And I too said, what? Amen. What else do you want to say if you're a pastor? It's not amen. And this is the third time or so I've encountered people. I was there. Somebody came to me and said, pastor, wow. He says, like my eyes was... I told my wife, I said, that prayer we say, we come here and we, two of us, Lord, every eyes must be what? Let me beg you, don't fight with people. Don't quarrel with people. They don't know. The day they know, they will change. You don't even know me. You know, we don't even know everything. There are some things I do that is not right because I don't what? Know yet. So just love me now. And give me room. Because one day my eyes will also. I've gone to my wife, I said, I'm so ashamed of so. You know, when I was doing them, I thought I was right. But my eyes. And I'm like, wow. So I can relate with her. Oh, I can very much relate with her. And it's not one so. No. It keeps happening. It keeps what? The moment it happens, God has taken you to the glory of revelation. Because he can't show you everything he wants. Can't even take it. He said, I feel ashamed. You know, as I was talking with her, she cried all the way. Tears. She said, Pastor. So I was doing this. Hey, he said, I didn't see it like that. He said, like my eyes. I said, that's a movement from one level of glory. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Let me tell our brethren, let's forgive each other. Give time. If he doesn't know tomorrow, he will not know tomorrow. Just allow God, because God has not finished. Amen? God is not finished. Because you've gone ahead doesn't mean that you know everything. Now, there are those who don't even know yourself. And to that extent, you are still messing up there. Messing up there. You know, that's the kingdom. You know, we live by love. Love keeps no record of wrong, keeps no record of it, because he knows that God is working. Praise the Lord. So we need our eyes open. He said, it's like a veil. Whoa. He said, it's a fact. When God gave me a revelation of grace, I didn't know it. I remember my wife was like, what is this? But her eyes popped open. Boom, boom, boom. And she can't have enough of it. The gospel is a mystery. It has to be revealed to you. You can be quoting it. You may not know it. I preached for years without understanding the gospel, and yet I didn't know it. I didn't know that I didn't understand this thing. I believe you, if you told me, I would say, you can't sit down. What are you talking about? Because I preach, people come give their life to Christ, and I didn't know that I didn't understand it. But I realized that I had stumbling. You know, it was like, no. So something, and when God began to open my eyes, all the dots connected, all the T's crossed up, I'm like, wow. It's like you are looking into a new world. And this Bible comes alive in a different dimension. You see, this thing I'm talking about, delegated authority, it may not make sense to you. And believe to me, it may not make sense if you're sitting there sleeping. But when God opens your eyes, you can't have enough of it. He wrote me, Chris, sent me a text. He said, Pastor, I listened to your Wednesday teaching. He said, God began to open my eyes. He said, I couldn't have enough of that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You can sit here and hear the things I'm saying. But until God removes that veil, even your mind can be going somewhere talking about that kind of thing. Luke chapter 24, 45. I want us to read it together, everybody. Then opened he what? Luke 24, 45. Then opened he what? There is opening of understanding. Brethren, is a reality. If God doesn't do that, if the Holy Spirit doesn't do that, the knowledge you are studying is beyond human understanding. You can't get it. This is divine wisdom. That's why it's a mystery. Because it's beyond human comprehension. He said, by wisdom, the world cannot know God. It's not going to happen. There has to be God opening your eyes of understanding, popping the thing open. And when he pops it, the world enters like light. The entrance of his word brings light, and then what comes with it? Understanding now comes. Not before then. And if you try to use this name when you don't have a revelation of this name, it won't work. Because faith can't come. Faith comes by the word, and the word comes when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see the life in the word, the reality of the word. It won't work. 2 Peter 1:16. For we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. 17. when he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly loved son, who brings me," what? 18. Because of that revelation we had, because of the voice we had, the voice of the Spirit of God we had, the voice of the Father we had, 18. We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, because of that revelation we have, we have even greater confidence now in the message proclaimed by the prophets. Because of that voice we have, because of the revelation we had, we're now sure. We have greater confidence now. Your confidence will not rise until you hear the voice of the Spirit. Because the Bible says they shall be taught of God. And everyone that heareth from him and now understand it. You say, but why do we come to church? Yes, because the Holy Spirit set up teachers for you. You are not going to the second stage if you are not in the first stage. If you look down on the ministry God set over you, forget about the rest. Because God does not walk with proud people. Case closed. He said, I resist the proud every day of their life. These are the things that prepare your heart, that you hear the word, you hear the teaching, and you are lowly in spirit. And then when you seek it, God begins to give you understanding. That's why he said, Pastor, that thing you taught, I went home and God began to teach me, my eyes open. If he wasn't here, he said, what is the Sinadi? Sinadi said, that Wednesday prayer, when his meeting, I came here, you taught about prayer. Brethren, I was teaching something that me myself was astounded. And then he said, man, that revolutionized my prayer life. How many of you were there that Wednesday? It was something spectacular from outside. I'm telling you. He said, that changed my entire prayer. I said, this is why prayer doesn't work. And 30 minutes before then, I never knew I was going to talk about it. He said, Pastor, that changed my entire prayer life. What happened? The Spirit of God took that thing and opened his eyes to it and said, this is what I'm saying. This is it. And one day, by the grace of God, they will share the encounter with the word of God with you. It's amazing what happened to them. It's incredible. That testimony is incredible. Encounter with the word of God. So Peter said, because of that voice, we have more confidence. Now look at Paul in Galatians 1:11. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand. What do I want you to understand? That the gospel message I preach is not based on what? Mere human reasoning. You can't know it by human reasoning. You can read it English and have mental knowledge, but that will not help you at all. It has not entered. It says it's not mental reasoning. The next verse, what does it say? 12. I received my message from no human source and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct what? Revelation of Jesus Christ. You got to receive it the same way. I'm not kidding you. You got to receive it the same way. And when you receive it, our sister's experience will be, you will be like, oh my God, what have I been? Whoa! I had a brother that shared. He said, when God opened my eyes to the authority in the name of Jesus, and that it works everywhere, he said, I was just meditating on this scripture, and then all of a sudden, I realized that this is true. My eyes opened. He said, I said, what? What? He said, I used the name. He said, I have a brother who is next to the devil himself. He said, we'll do anything evil. He said, I stood there in my room. I said, I break the power of the devil over my brother in the name of Jesus. He said, within 2 days, he called me. He said, I'm saved. 2 days. He said, I'm saved. But he couldn't do that until he had what? A revelation of it. So that entrance of the word, light, brought understanding and built the faith. And he acted on it and they worked for him. Because faith cometh by hearing, not hearing with this ear. Jesus said, he that has ear to hear, not this ear. Galatians 1:15. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then he pleased him, brethren. Then he pleased him. Then he pleased him. The next verse, what did he please him to do? To what? Reveal his son to me. So that I will now proclaim. Did you know what Peter said? Peter said what Paul is preaching is from God, but we don't even understand it. He said, we don't understand it. Paul said, yeah, it was revealed to me. But later on, Peter had revelation. So we need to deliberately seek a revelation of the truth that is in Christ Jesus. The truth is in Christ Jesus. Tell your neighbor that. I want you to tell your neighbor that again. Say it one more time. We must deliberately, on purpose, reorder your priorities. Stop all this ritualistic Christianity and all this waste of time and pursue knowledge of Christ. That's the primary thing you need to know. In Christ is everything. In him is everything. And it's the light that lightens everyone that comes under this light. He's everything. We are complete in him. He is our completeness. Once you, in Christ is everything you need to live successfully and to do the work of the kingdom. It's in him. It's not outside of him. In him you find who you are. In him we live, move, and have our being. So in him you find how to move in circumstances. It's in him you find it now. Come on, church. You find it in him. You don't study to know Christ, you'll be ignorant. I'm not saying you're not going to be saying Pentecostal things, so. But what is the result? Because without him, we can do absolutely nothing. Jesus is not a hobby. He's the man. He's our life. He's our. Paul says he's my all. So how can you keep it, make your all and all your hobby and expect to live a excellent Christian life? It's not going to happen. Jesus is not a hobby. He is the primary thing. Because of his fullness, we all partake from glory. Yeah, you're partaking from him. You got to know him. You got to know him, brethren, I'm begging you. Because we come across challenges that are dangerous. Very dangerous. And about that time, you don't learn how to swim when you are drowning. It's too late. But those who know their God, they shall now be what? So when the question comes, they do exploits, right? But you first of all have to take time to know your God. You know Christ crucified. Colossians 2:2. I want them to be encouraged and to knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of what? Love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is what? Christ himself. Say the church will understand this complete plan of Christ, of God in Christ, to do his work, to give you your inheritance, and to keep you protected. He says, sin shall not have dominion over us. So why are we always focusing on sin? It's because we don't know that sin should not have dominion over you, and you don't know why it shouldn't. Because you don't know why, you cannot believe it. And you're struggling here and there. Get that teaching on Friday. It will resolve all these things for you. All of it. You know how to live in the spirit, what it means, what to live in the flesh, and why our character is not, it cannot be resolved by don't do this, don't do that. Because the seed, the thing that is causing it, there's a seed in you producing all that. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Because the scripture says the reason a Christian lives holy is because the seed of God is in him. It's not because you told him 10 commandments. There's a seed in him producing that life.
Go and get that teaching. I don't have time for that.
So that he said, that you know these things. Brethren, please study to know who Christ is. In knowing Jesus, you will do exploits. Because he's the foundation of your faith. He's the author and finisher, what? Your faith. Ignorance of Jesus will mean lack of faith. And so you can't even use his name with confidence and faith. Because the devils will challenge you. And because you don't see anything, procure everything for you. And so we need to understand that we can't get by skimming the surface of Scripture. We can't get by skimming. You know what it means, skimming the surface? Who among you, when you cook your soup, if you want to eat, you skim the top? It's only when you annoy your husband that you give him the top of the soup. Say, come and eat. Then you look for this fish that has the most bone. Say, you eat. I had a sister come to me once. He said, Pastor, what my husband is doing to me. That was in Lagos. My husband is doing to me. And he told me, I said, what? Okay, let me call his my friend now. So I came. Immediately I sat down. He said, oh, Pastor, he served me this, served me that, served me this. And my husband says, bring you what? My heart sank right there. I knew where the trouble was coming. Bring you what? You think I'm your servant to serve you anything? Pastor, please, do you need some more? Oh, my God. I felt like leaving immediately. I was so embarrassed. You can't get by skimming top of Scripture. And if you don't give it time, you won't get anything out of it. And don't tell God you don't have time for him. That's the worst thing you can tell him. Because if you tell him you don't have time for him, he won't have time for you either. Because it's what you make happen for you. You draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to you. God, I'm so busy. You know I'm so busy in America. God says, okay, I'm busy in heaven too. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. My son, what? Give it attention. Church, I'm begging you, give it attention. Then incline your ears unto my sayings, for the days are evil. These days are evil. Build up your life. Build up your spiritual life. Build up your faith. Attend to my word. Incline your ears to my sayings. What did he say, verse 21? Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. What will he do when you do that? Verse 22. For they are life to those who... So you see, there's a finding now. It's not something that happens casually. Many times when I start talking with Christians, immediately we know it's a carnal person. You know how you deal with carnal people? Let me show you. Come. You don't give them bone because it will choke them. So when carnal people come to you, you say, it's okay. Nah. Come. I sit here. Is that how you treat grandchildren? Because if you tell him, this is the truth, the thing we get in here, he won't talk to you again. Get angry. You lose him. So what do? Nah. Yeah. Daddy will give you milk. Huh? So what do you do? If you give him bone, you won't see him again. And you go chasing him while the thing is still. And you want to put, I didn't say that. I had me to move it for. And when he grows, he still go back to that thing. Then we say, oh, Pastor, hey, that thing you were telling me that time is really true. My granddaughter, my lovely angel, my last one, I'll come to carry her. She won't want me, but I love my daughter. So I say, it's me and you. I can't. She will look at. In fact, she was laughing with me. I was so excited with just the laughter. I said, she recognizes me. I was so happy.
But you know, with time, she's going to run into my arms. Why? She has grown. She said, that grandpa. But now, and I'm pushing, you watch now, when she's 1 year, 1.5, she will, grandpa, from there. I'll carry my baby. That's how many of us are. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, we should make sure that we have time for this thing. So it produces this life of Christ in us. Produces the spiritual life. You are not spiritual because you pray a lot. Neither are you spiritual because you are a pastor. You are spiritual because you live by faith. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1:9. So we have stopped praying for you. So we have not stopped praying. Colossians 1:9. See the kind of prayer that will be useful to us. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will. You see the kind of prayer they were praying? We ask God to give you what? Complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understand. They say, when you have it, verse 10, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All this, verse 10. Let's read verse 10, everybody. That you might walk. No. I'm reading New Living Translation. All these concupiscence people. Give me New Living Translation. Verse 10. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of what? Good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God what? Better and better. As you know Jesus better and better, your life will be producing that life. That seed of the word, that seed of the truth is what produces the life of Christ, not your effort. And so he said, we are praying for you that God will give you that wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of his will. What is his will? To know Christ crucified. The more you know him better, the more your life is transforming without effort. All this carnality is going somewhere. You really become a spiritual person. And spiritual people live in the fruit of the Spirit. So when you are living in the home, patience will show. You will be patient to listen to somebody in your house. If they are talking, even if they are talking nonsense, you will still be what? Patient. And not patience with them. Pastor said, we'll be patient. In fact, quick. So I'm patient, but quick. No. Patient and kind. Praise the Lord. Patient and what? Kind at the same time. You know, if God will treat me the way I am, he will not talk to me anymore. Because I'm sure there are things I go to talk to God about that's foolish. But he'll still be patient with me and be kind. Praise the Lord. He said, the way I love you is the way you should love everybody. God is putting up with all of us. So we should put up with one another. Is this hard? No. Praise the Lord. I'm done.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.